Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Everyone that's here. Everyone that didn't move to the back wall and get away from me. So should we start?
Amen.
Well, it's a good thing to be together. Had the privilege yesterday of going to a housewarming with the brothers and sisters that have come from different places, starting in India. And so we had a wonderful time sharing the Lord with them and housewarming. That house is warm now. We warmed that house up. I'm just doing small talk so all the stragglers can get in. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, Father in heaven. We thank you that we belong to him and that he's our hope and stay. And we just give you this time together today and pray there be something useful out of it. In Jesus' name. Well, you know, we have a lot of words we use in our gathering together. And it's good every once in a while to think a little bit about what they mean, because they really have a history and they mean something. And the little thing I want to say today is the testimony of Jesus. A word we use, a word we have learned, a phrase we've learned, but I've been thinking about this since conference, and I've come to the conclusion that the testimony of Jesus is Jesus. It's not a thing, it's not a teaching, it's a living spiritual experience and testimony of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, you know, we had this subject at conference this year, and the theme verse came from Nehemiah. He said, I'm doing a great work, and I can't come down. And in type, had many of the characteristics of the testimony of Jesus. But so what we said was, the great work he was doing was the recovery of the testimony of Jesus. And that testimony is a living thing. It is to be expressed in a redeemed, sanctified, and glorified people individually. And it's been those people are to express it corporately, and it's meant to be expressed as his body on earth, as a bride prepared for his return. So much to say about the testimony of Jesus. And it started very early, right after the Lord was ascended in Acts 1:21. And this is Peter. Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, said, therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. You know, Judas betrayed the Lord, and he was dealt with and no longer available to be a witness of the resurrection. But it was very much on Peter's heart that there must be one that's a witness of the resurrection. What do witnesses do?
Testify.
Witness. Right on it. You read my notes? Witnesses testify. Do our lives testify? Do we witness Jesus Christ and his ascension? Witnesses testify what they have seen and experienced. And Jesus is the testimony that we are called to express. We are to be living the testimony of Jesus, not a teaching. Soon after this Peter's that realization that they needed to have another one to be a witness of the resurrection, he spoke this sermon in Acts 2, which I think is one of the most powerful passages in the Bible. This poor, weak-kneed Peter was full of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to read some of these in Acts 2. Acts 2:22, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst. Just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. 24, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Verse 32, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Therefore, 36, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. The testimony of Jesus from day one in the church, this Jesus, it's all about Jesus. And there's another statement that Paul made, which I think is interesting. It's 2 Timothy 2:8. Paul, at the end of his life, was trying to pass on to his son in the faith, to Timothy, something of the burden of Christ. And right in the middle of this, which seems to me kind of right in the middle of things, he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ. And I hate to say it, but it's possible to forget Jesus Christ. It's possible to slip away from the simplicity and purity of the gospel we've received. And I have to say, to me, it's the verb for us is be remembering, always remembering, being living. So John, be always remembering. Maury, be always remembering. Bobby, be always remembering. Put your name in there. Be always remembering Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus is our testimony. And we're going to look a little bit at Ephesians today, but I want to tell you how much the testimony of Jesus was part of the very early ministry of the church. When Paul wrote Ephesians, does anyone have any idea how many times Jesus Christ, that term, that word was used in Ephesians? A lot. Depend on your translation. I didn't check the Phillips, Jerry, but the New American Standard, it's at least 20. The highest book, the highest level epistle that we think is the written the highest level, they mentioned Jesus 20 times. He was just obsessed with it, Jesus. Let me read a couple verses out of Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. You can count that as one of them. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth in him. And I think it's interesting, Jerry, you quoted Phillips, so I want to quote that passage in Phillips. Phillips is a good reference book, you know. It's good to have different translations. But I'm going to read Ephesians 7, 8, and 9 out of Phillips. It is through the Son, at the cost of his own blood, that we are redeemed, freely forgiven through that full and generous grace which has overflowed into our lives and opened our eyes to the truth. For God has allowed us to know the secret of his plan, and it is this. He purposed in his sovereign will that all human history, summing up all things, all human history shall be consummated in Christ, that everything that exists in heaven or earth shall find its perfection and fulfillment in him. History shall be consummated in Christ. Wow. The testimony of Jesus is Jesus Christ. And you know what? The whole Bible is about Jesus. We talked about Ephesians. You know, it's been some years ago, Brother Kong did a series of messages on each book of the Bible. And we have that in a compilation now in three volumes. And Dana Congdon always says how that's one of the best books. He recommends it to everyone. But you know what was so unique about going through every book of the Bible? Why was that, his treatment, unique? It's called Seeing Jesus. Seeing Christ in the Old Testament and seeing Christ in the New Testament. It's not about just understanding these passages, but seeing Christ. How many people, Dorotich isn't here, I wish he was here. How many people ever saw Oral Roberts have this testimony about the fourth man in the furnace? Anyway, he stood on stage and he goes through every book in the Bible from his memory and declares where Christ is in each book. Obviously, he was the fourth man in the furnace. But the Bible's full of Christ. We have to lay hold of Jesus afresh. So the good thing we can say about what I've said so far is it's not about us. Praise God, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. Jesus crucified and buried, risen from the dead, ascended, reigning on high, and coming again. Jesus Christ. Revelation 11, 15, and 16. The kingdom of the world has become. This is the summing up of all things in Christ, by the way. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God. You know what? Who's ever listened to Handel's Messiah? Who's ever sung it? Who's ever sung in it? The Hallelujah Chorus. You didn't sing the whole thing, but it's wonderful. This man wrote this Hallelujah Chorus, and at the end of it, what's he say? And the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord. You want to sing it? No, okay. You want to sing it? Not now. Meet at lunch. Meet after lunch. And anybody wants to sing the Hallelujah. How do you say Hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Halla. That's a bread. Halla. Okay, but anyway, it's all through the Bible. The whole Bible is a testimony of Jesus. And we're called to be bearers of the testimony of Jesus. Anyway, is that enough? Not yet. So there's an outline here, okay? Number one, introduction. I just finished that. I didn't put my outline first. I put it here. But what we just heard was the introduction. You can... I didn't... I
was looking for the paperwork.
Me too.
Please forgive me. Take your paper and write out, Jesus is the testimony. That's what it would be. So, introduction. We've got three ways to consider this testimony of Jesus. That's number two. One, two. We did one. Personally, it's the life of Christ expressed in our individual lives, testifies of Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ, our life and our strength and our hope. Talked about that at the table today. Number three, one, two, three. The life of Christ expressed through the church, in the saints, it's expressed in the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Maybe it's, I'm in the wrong. Reminds me of David Peng trying to read that little Bible up in. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Think of that. Summing up all things in Christ is in the body. It's in the body of Christ. He might come to have first place in everything. And this testimony in the body of Christ is current and it's today. Okay, that's number three. And number four is some comments on the bride. Revelation 19:7 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." The Lord's return, and our looking for that return, it testifies of Jesus. So, it's not about you, not about me. So, the first point after the introduction is our personal testimony of Jesus Christ. I was saved, Sharon and I were saved through Campus Crusade for Christ. Might sound old-fashioned to some of you, but it's still alive, and it's a powerful work. We always think of Bill Bright being... Bill Bright was an insurance salesman, and he got saved, and he knew something had to be done. And all the literature and the teaching he got was from a lady, I wish I had her name, was the head of the Sunday school movement in the United States. And she was from California, from L.A. So Anyway, so when we got saved, when we got born again, we were encouraged to give our testimony, our personal testimony, and that was for the purpose of bringing others to Christ so they could relate to it. I think it was also for the benefactors so they could see that their money was bearing fruit, but anyway. I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, my testimony was John 14:6. I think you know that, Dorothea. You don't need to look it up. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And you know what? As I was preparing this thing, I thought, that's still my testimony. Isn't that wonderful? To have the thing you began with to be the thing you continue with and the thing you'll end with. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. So that's our testimony. So let's just look a little bit. Excuse me. I said we talk about Ephesians. Let's read Ephesians 1, chapter 1 to 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In those first two verses, he used Jesus Christ three times. Jesus Christ, the will of God. Faithful in Jesus Christ, God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in him. So he starts out in this book that we have received every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. How oftentimes in the years we've been around, 50 years, there's been something in Christianity that said, God's given you every blessing. You ought not be poor. You ought not be without a new car. You know, when we were younger, we said, a new Cadillac. Now nobody knows what a Cadillac is. You need a new Cadillac. You shouldn't be sick. You should be healthy. Those aren't the blessings he gave us. He gave us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And you know why he gave us those blessings? Not for us. He gave them to us for his purpose. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing that we may live for him and serve him. So let's just look at a few of these. These blessings are actually inexhaustible. Seems like the clock's going fast, but I think it's because you all came back late. Verse 4. You have to follow along with me. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose us. Stop and think about it. He chose you. He chose me. What a wonderful thing. We don't belong to ourselves. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about yourself. You belong to him. He's got the whole world in his hands, and he chose us before the foundation of the world. He's got it. Let it go. Trust him. In the second half of verse 4, it says that we would be holy and blameless before him. We were lost and separated from God, but his desire is that we would be holy and blameless before him. And then verse 7 says, we have, this little Bible. In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. We who were sinners, separated from God, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And in verse 13, it says, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We've been born again. And his life in us and his testimony in the world in Christ is our encouragement. We have the Spirit. So we've been rescued, redeemed, given new life to live and serve the Lord. But let's read verse 5. This is he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. What do you think about adoption? Isn't that great? We got adopted. So if we didn't get the spiritual blessings we want, we ought to get them later when we receive all the inheritance, right? Get a lot of riches. Nah, that's not what it means. This passage is closely related to he has chosen us. not for our benefit. Sharon was watching TV and she said they were interviewing Shaquille O'Neal, basketball player. No, Kenny? You know Shaq? Yeah. But some of his children were there and they said, "We're rich." And he said, "I'm rich. You're not rich." But we are rich. And this adoption we've been called into, the right translation is to be placed as adult sons. We've been adopted for his purpose, to serve him, that he might have his way. So, praise God, we're adopted, but we're adopted to be grown-up sons and to be... Think of it this way. I know some of us have grown up in families that had small businesses. And actually, Jesus was a carpenter and learned at his father's bench, you know. But what a great thing, that person that started a small business and gave their life to it and got blessed, to have a grown-up son come in and take over the business. The Lord is looking after sons to be placed in his business. So this whole first chapter of Ephesians is two sentences. But not even two sentences. It's a sentence and a half. The first paragraph ends at one. It's 1 to 14. Verse 1 to 14. It's in the Darby. I counted these, so it won't be any different. So you don't have to check me. But then 1:15 ends in 2:7. It's such a great thing that Paul is trying to testify of, to explain to us. He couldn't, he's got run-on sentences, and it's grammatically a mess. Maybe Paul was an engineer, huh? Or an accountant. Anyway, individual things scratch the surface of the meaning of this first thing. And the things that I talked about, we have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We've been washed by the blood, forgiven, and have a clean slate before God. We can approach God. Jesus, praise the Lord. We've been born again and have a new life in the Spirit. Paul often prays that we might know the power in the inner man. We have a life to live by. And we have adopted to become full-grown sons. Who wants to share in sonship sometime? No? Sonship is a great topic for placing as sons to serve in our Father's business. It testifies of him. And we are part of the body of Christ to live as a bride preparing for the Lord's soon return. Our personal testimony is to be living a new life in the Spirit and to be active, adopted sons serving in the Father's purpose of summing up all things in Christ. Praise the Lord. What a testimony of Jesus. Let me read some passages, some of these verses out of the Weist. That's another translation, Jerry, kind of like Phillips, only it's just a New Testament. And Weist was a Greek scholar, so he tried to sort these things out. But let's just read some verses. He selected us out for himself in him, in Christ, before the foundations of the universe were laid, to be holy ones and without blemish before his searching, penetrating gaze, in love having previously marked us out to be placed as adult sons through the intermediate agency of Jesus Christ for himself, according to that which seemed good in his heart's desire. And then down in 10, says, with respect to an administration of the completion of the epochs of time to bring back again to their original state all things in the Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on earth, summing up all things in Christ. But Paul realized this whole thing he was speaking was so much and so huge spiritually. He said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your heart being enlightened, and of you just knowing, to your knowing what is the hope of his calling. We need spiritual light and insight to catch hold of these things. And all then, and then he sums up, and all these things he put in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is of such a nature as to be his body, the fullness of the one who constantly is filling all things with all things. So it's quite a passage. So, let's just, that was number two, which was really the first thing I was going to talk about. So this is number three, the corporate testimony, the corporate testimony of Jesus. The most common thought of salvation is what? People get saved, so avoid going to hell. Wonderful. But God has a greater purpose for us. He has a greater testimony for us today. Our getting saved is just a beginning. As the temple was built, it required much materials. As the body of Christ is built, it requires much material. We're all materials for the building up of the body of Christ. Over the years, we've been quite blessed with having received this teaching. You know, the body of Christ, a living, breathing body of Christ on earth today. He gave him as all things. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So us being saved is a great responsibility to be engaged in this body of Christ. And this is not apprehended by more and more teaching. You know, it's not a lack of teaching sometimes, it's a lack of spiritual understanding and spiritual insight. So might the Lord bless us. And that's what Paul prayed, that he might give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So we understand there is such a thing as the testimony of Jesus in the local assembly. The body of Christ is a big part of the testimony of Jesus. And I just had a couple words I wanted to talk about. You know, in Christianity today, we often talk about the Christian community. And the Christian community is wonderful, but it's not corporate. It's not necessarily an expression of the body of Christ. You know, we learned over the years, we heard Brother Fromke, one of the brothers very early on that we learned from, had a discussion about Ai and Bethel. And Ai, who remembers that story? Ai is a heap of stones. And Bethel is the house of God. So we can have all the heap of stones. We can have a heap of believers. And all the believers love to be together. But they're not necessarily the house of God. We need to be built up into that testimony of the body of Christ. And another thing I was thinking about, we often talk about the universal, the church universal, which is wonderful to be related to other Christians, but God has called us to be living stones and a local expression of his body. We are called to be build up with one another. And we've all heard this over the year. But being built up as his body testifies is part of the testimony of Jesus. So there's a... I'm just going to move on to chapter 4, the practical expression of this body in a locality. There's so much more in Ephesians in 2 and 3. The witness of Jesus Christ as head with his local, with his resurrection life lived out in a local church. The testimony of Jesus lived out through the local assembly. What a great blessing we have to be called ones and to be part of that. So chapter 4, verse 1 in Ephesians. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. So this great calling we've received is to be matured sons, to be part of the body today, to travail to the end of summing up all things in Christ. It's through this local expression we're able to participate in the summing up of all things in Christ. And Ephesians 4:11-13 says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets and evangelists for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We can be part of that summing up all things in Christ in the local assembly. He's chosen us to express Christ in the local assembly. And we need to hold fast the head. Ephesians 4:1-2 again says, Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. We are to hold fast the head and to love one another as Christ loved his church, as we have fellowship together. And this is a point I want to make. It's verse 14, 15, and 16. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So it talks about we're held together by what every joint supplies. And let me read the Amplified on that. For because of him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments by which it is supplied, when each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. So we are to be joints and ligaments, building up the body in love. Why do you think he chose joints and ligaments? I was just thinking of that. The body parts? Part of the body, for sure.
Their connection
connections.
Hold things together.
Who said that? Gunther? Yeah, hold things together. Think if we didn't have any joints and ligaments. Wouldn't it be a mess? All the people that are over 50, 60 know what it means about joints and ligaments. I'm going to have to get you to help me stretch out when we get done here. Karen's smiling. Joints and ligaments and bones, parts. What a mess. If we didn't have joints and ligaments, we would fall in a heap of mess. We'd be a heap of stones.
Get new ones.
He says you get new ones. All these joint replacement people. Anyway, it's very important. I just got to tell you something. Did you ever think you're a joint and ligament? You're a joint and ligament. You're supposed to be related to the part next to you, and you're supposed to hold it together in love. The body can't build itself up if we don't hold together. And so I got to ask everybody. This is a question I want each of us to ask ourselves. I'll ask myself. Am I a joint of supply in the body of Christ? Am I a joint and ligament? Or you can be both. It's an important question, and we need to know what our role is in the testimony of Jesus. Am I a joint and ligament? What are we doing to build up the body? Are we actively involved with the saints, related to them, and holding it together? So, and that includes the older people here, which is most of us, who have problems with joints and ligaments and getting old. You can't quit. Kenny had problems with joints and ligaments. What's that called? Rotator cuff. Some of those, was it tendon? That's terrible, but he got them fixed. But he had been no use without good joints and ligaments. His testimony isn't going to be very good without joints and ligaments. And the other thing I want to say about joints and ligaments is a wonderful encouragement to me when I see joints and ligaments holding things together, being involved, being joints of supply in the local testimony. So, the last thing I want to say about joints and ligaments, we have a choice to be a joint or ligament. And all I want to say is, don't hold back. The days are evil. Don't sit on the sidelines. Give yourself unreservedly to being a joint and ligament. You ain't got enough time. And don't look back someday and say, I should have been a joint and ligament, but I didn't. Be a joint and ligament. Give yourself unreservedly. This testimony of Jesus is expressed in his local church, and we all have a part. So there's a section that you can all look at, and I want you to look at. Paul takes another analogy in 1 Corinthians 12:12-25, about every part of the body having a function. We've all been given, God has given us to be part of his body. And so it says, the body is not one member but many. And if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If you think you aren't, that's your problem. You are a part of the body, and you're a foot. Let's talk about feet. Feet can be a real problem too. Take care of your feet. If the ear says, I'm not an eye, so I'm not a part of the body, we're all parts of the body. God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Praise the Lord. Full expression. Okay. I got one last. This is number four. It's number four. The bride, the final thing I want to discuss is the bride of Christ. I remember one, might have been somebody that grew up in our midst, said, "What is this bride of Christ stuff? That's crazy. Who made that up?" It's in the book. And the Lord's after a bride who has made herself ready. He wants to return, and he's waiting for the bride to make herself ready. So the one point out of this about the bride I want to make up, which could be numerous ministries, Revelation 19:7. "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready." What I want to say out of this, the Lord has returning. He is returning. He's returning for a bride who has made herself ready. And this fact of the bride making herself ready for the Lord returning, the Lord is returning. We've had family members tell us, "I never heard of that. I never heard that the Lord's coming back." We've heard it. So the early church, the testimony of the early church was they were looking for the bride to come any day, as we should be, looking for the Lord's return. And that should be a part of our testimony of Jesus. The Lord is coming back. So these are things that spoke to me about the testimony of Jesus. It's a living, real, spiritual, expressed thing. It's meant to be expressed in our lives. It's meant to be expressed in our gathering together in the local assembly. And there it's to be expressed as longing for the bride to return. All the testimony of Jesus, personally, corporately, and in the bride returning, the imminent return of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you that for this reminder that it's all about Jesus, risen from the dead. Who will be witnesses with us of the resurrection? Lord, you're the way, the truth, and the life. And whether we're young or old or just starting out as a believer or been a believer for 50 years, you're the way, the truth, and the life. And we look to you to have your full testimony in us individually and in us as an assembly. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.